Good morning, Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hahn with Key this morning and...
each and every morning.
Yes.
That would be correct.
And as we, by the way, good morning. How are you?
I'm Strizzate.
Strizzate.
Yeah, other than yesterday. Another complaint.
Can I tell? Are you okay with that? Because
I'm okay.
It's in the daily life of Key where... Like you are not a big social media guy, so we are fortunate enough to enjoy what normally other people would just put on Instagram, you put in our group chat.
Yes.
So it's hilarious to us. It is our small little group.
Yeah, buddy.
And it just happened to be a passing storm last night in the New York City area, and Key decided to take a picture or take video of himself walking in the rain. Walking in the rain.
Oh, and
no umbrella, right?
No umbrella, no
and just
nothing.
Complaining like it's the only place on earth where in the summer it might have like, you know, a pop-up storm.
But still though, Alan, think about it. So when I leave the crib, we left the crib at like 6 o'clock to go get dinner. You know, a couple blocks from home. We walked.
Yeah, weren't far from home.
We got the stroller with the baby. We cool. Everybody good. We, you know, it's hot, a little steamy out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's clear.
Yep.
It's not cloudy.
Right.
So We eating whatever the case is, you know, and time to go. And my son says, we can't leave. And I'm like, why? And he says, it's raining. And I can't see through the window if it's raining or not.
Exclusive
so
spot
when they
right.
open up the door to come, now I see just water just pouring out. So we sit there for like another 10 minutes, like, dang. And so I look on your phone at the weather, 2.5 hours, basically, it's going to be pouring down rain. I'm like, damn, man.
Yeah.
But which way, what should I do? So everybody's like, man, we're going to go home.
Make
so
a run
baby got to go to sleep, whole deal.
Yeah.
So I told him, okay. So I get up and go, and which, man, I might as well just jumped in the pool. It's just crazy, stupid. Because at least in Florida, I know it's coming.
All right, this,
I can look at it, no I'm
way.
Like, oh, it's coming.
Can
no
I
way.
Add
this
to the show?
Yeah, this was my favorite part of the video is Key goes,
yeah
we got to move the show to either L.A. or Florida. Like, Key, it rains in Florida much more
but
out of
nowhere. But at least I know it's coming.
You would have known no it was way. Coming
no,
if
don't.
You looked at the weather app.
You don't.
Why should I look at the weather app if it's clear skies and I know at this time of year
it's
anything
August.
Could happen
yes.
in Florida. I've lived there. I've played there. I get it. This was not the case.
It rained every 30 minutes in Florida.
I really got
does.
That, though.
It does.
That's cool. I know that already.
But the app worked.
But it's the Northeast. It's August. Are you new here? Didn't you play a couple of seasons in New York? Don't
I
you understand?
More than a couple. That's
so you understand then how it works here. You do,
yeah,
you
that
do
was so
understand.
Long ago, though,
it's
I don't
August.
Remember. I don't remember. So there you go. Move along.
It's just funny. But at least, you know, you got Jake Gyllenhaal would have gotten his shower and he would have gotten clean. In the,
but it really shouldn't have surprised us that, you know, that Key, you know, didn't look at the weather app. Because how many mornings does he come back? Oh, that happened last night? Yeah, you would know that if you looked at the rundown.
It's just like I said to everybody listening, it's normally something you might see on someone's Instagram story or anything, you know, TikTok. But for Key, it's just saved only for us, and it was something we definitely had to share. What's for everyone, though, Key, is Hard Knocks, which is also that annual now rite of passage for training camp with football. And it's fun to get that behind-the-scenes look at a team and what happens, and you get a lot of the raw video as well. So last night, the Cowboys are this year's team, and on Hard Knocks last night, it's always, all right, what are we learning about the Dallas Cowboys? Well, we learned a lot about Dak Prescott, which we knew. You know, we knew about Dak, his injury, his comeback, and what he's going to be, obviously, this year for them. But Mike McCarthy gave a speech that I feel like that's the speech you give the first day of training camp for teams with the expectations that maybe a Dallas Cowboys would have. Basically said Super Bowl or bust. He said, this is about winning. This is about winning the world championship, period. Because that's all that matters. Going to the playoffs ain't good enough. Having a winning season, not good enough. Going to the championship game, not good enough. Okay? Because it takes everybody. And you may be tired of hearing this, but I've been part of one championship team. I stood in front of one championship team. It took 77 men.
No, it didn't.
To win a world championship. And that's just the way it goes. And once you hold the trophy up, it's blanking heavier than you think it is. So with that in mind, Dallas Cowboys, he's setting Super Bowl or bust tones for this team. Before we even decide whether or not it should be for the Dallas Cowboys. Let me ask you this. Out of 32 teams, how many coaches would make this speech? 10? 12? I mean, there's got to be a number of teams that have that feeling, like, we can win it.
That particular speech, probably half dozen.
12, all right.
Yeah, half dozen teams or so, I would say, would be, you know, a half dozen, not 12.
How believable are those speeches?
But wait,
when you're
a half dozen is believable. A dozen is expectations.
Okay.
And beyond that, you're delusional. And that's the reality of it. But every single team in the National Football League, when you go into training camp, you think you're coming out going to play in the Super Bowl. That's right. Every year. Every mentality has that until you actually walk into the locker room or walk on the field and you take a look at the people around you, and then you realize, yeah, it's probably not going to work out the way we want it to. Right. And now reality sets in. There's nothing wrong with what Coach McCarthy is saying, because the Cowboys are a loaded football team, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
Now, you said they could be sneaky good.
They could be very sneaky good. Defensively, they've got some pieces. Now, it's all about Dan Quinn putting it all together defensively. Mm-hmm. The young guys on the defense gelling, coming together, and I think that they will. The question is, for me, is if things start to go sour, how do they respond? Do they respond? When they get punched, are they going to punch back? Or all of a sudden, are they going to let the naysayers continue to just bash them and it sink into them to the point where they can't get out of their own way?
Is playing in Dallas, you have this experience, playing in Dallas, like, is it different than playing anywhere else because of the intensity of the coverage, the fan base, the expectations, the owner, all those things? There's something different about, like is the jersey a little bit heavier in Dallas? You know what I mean by that? Like, is that come with it? Because you just said if they don't, the way they seem to react to criticism, like you were just suggesting, as long as they don't let that creep in, they'll be fine.
Well, because if they lose one or two games in a row, well, not one, because you got to lose one losing in a row, but if they lose a couple games in a row, the first thing people start saying is, here are the Cowboys.
Here they go.
Here they go again. And if you allow that to sink in and you start worrying about those things, now you start to press. And you're not coaching or playing up to your expectations. If you can somehow alleviate that, the outside noise, and just focus in on what you need to do, then you can be a really, really good team. When I was playing in Dallas, we were an okay team. We just didn't quite get our – we didn't quite gel fast enough. We was, like, hit and miss. We might win two in a row, three in a row, then we might lose two. And we win one, then we might lose one. Opposed to being just – it was new. It was like basically a new team and a new everything. And it was heavy, but we also understood where we were at as a team. We were not ready to be a Super Bowl caliber team quite yet. I think this team, though, with a veteran quarterback that they just paid a bunch of money to, plethora of skill position players, an offensive line that could be good if they healthy.
If they
healthy, and a retooled defense with expectations and potentially a coach in the waiting in Dan Quinn, who, you know, if it goes wrong, he could be the guy
that eventually
you know, takes over at some point. It's a lot. It is a lot, because Jerry Jones doesn't have to. It's not like Jerry Jones is 25 years old now. He wants to see an opportunity to win another championship. And so it's a lot of expectations and hype coming into this year. And the hype starts with the quarterback, because you gave him a whole bunch of money. You don't give a guy a whole bunch of money unless you believe that he can lead you to the Lombardi Trophy. And when you do that, that says, okay, we got a really good team. We're looking for a championship. Think about it. They just gave Josh Allen $150 million of guaranteed money, $250 million overall. What does that mean? That means the Buffalo Bills are thinking about a damn championship.
Yeah, they expect to win.
Kansas City Chiefs paid Patrick Mahomes. They were thinking about another championship.
That's why you pay players.
That's why you pay them.
You pay players because you expect that you're going to get that money back in success.
Yeah, they're not paying you to walk down the red carpet and look good into the stadium.
Right.
And so those expectations become heightened when people shell out that type of money.
Right, and that now is obviously – and then Mike McCarthy putting it out there for the Cowboys and knowing, of course, the Hard Knocks cameras are on him – is certainly a reason for that. So that's the expectations for the Cowboys. And you mentioned the money aspect, right? The Cowboys are not the only team in Dallas with championship or bust expectations now, especially after shelling out some money. We'll discuss that. Oh, he got the bag all right. Welcome back. So Luka Doncic signed yesterday. He was in his home country, Slovenia. And it's a small country. He has, you know, become it's their biggest star. And he signed in Slovenia a 5-year, $207 million contract extension with the Dallas Mavericks. Just the money, just trying to think about that money alone for a 22-year-old, it's pretty amazing. He's been a star.
You're going to touch 2.5 more of those.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. Because what year is this, 5?
Yeah, he'll be 27.
So 27.
When his deal is up, he'll be 27.
So he get that again, and then some, right?
Well, we don't know what – think about 5 years from now.
That's what I'm saying, and then some. So I say get that and then some.
Yeah, whatever. You're
going to get that. Ooh, man.
No, I know. No, it's for sure.
Turn it in.
Now, if you're Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, this was a no-brainer. Like, this is – think about it. They traded for him on draft night. He, Trae Young, they were swapped. You make that deal. You bring him in there. You had Dirk Nowitzki for such a long time. He was very successful in Dallas, beloved in Dallas. You go international again, and you nail it again with this player who has become one of the best players. First-team All-NBA twice now in his first three seasons in the NBA.
Why you say Mark Cuban nailed it? I mean, he had to do it.
That's
why,
what I mean. No, no. Well,
yeah, it wasn't nothing to even talk about.
I said it's a no-brainer.
Yeah. Was it like?
He's certainly a no-brainer. This is a guy you make sure. How much is he worth? Yeah, I'll pay that. Why? Because as we mentioned with Dak Prescott, you give him that money if you're Jerry Jones. Because now it's like, with that guy, I can win a championship. So it's worth it to me to invest in him. And Cuban talked about, yesterday, he talked about the extension giving to Luka Doncic.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I'm proud of Luka. You know, I've seen when he first came in, you know, the pressure that was on him and, you know, the way he dealt with it, how hard he worked, how he recognized that it was always about the team winning and that was what was most important to him. And to me, you know, that's what's always been most important to me, whatever we could do to win. And so to see him, you know, start to blossom before our own eyes more than we ever expected is special.
It is special. That's Straight Talk, by the way, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So that part for Dallas, that part's special, right? Now, just so everybody knows, on Twitter, at Key, Jay, and Z, we have a poll up that we've been already arguing about. Because Luke is that guy under 25. He is a guy that you certainly would pay to see play. That's a big part of also giving a contract, right?
Yeah.
So Dallas is going to sell
box
out.
Office.
Dallas is going to sell out. They're going to sell it. 41 home games sold out, right? Yeah. Because he's that good. He's a star, and you want to go see him play in your building. But if you're the NBA, ESPN and Turner, you're going to get a lot of Dallas Mavericks games. Why? Because you want eyeballs to watch him play. If you're a team that you know your team stinks, you're going to get a bigger crowd when Luka shows up because he's got that kind of box office appeal. So here's the question. If you could go to one game, one NBA game in your city, you can only either afford to go or just – only available to go to one game. The question we have on Twitter right now at Key J and Z is if you had only one game you could go to, which one of these visiting players, and we're staying under 25, Which one of these players would you buy a ticket to see? Luka, Trae Young, or Devin Booker, or we'll do a write-in, which I find to be offensive because Zion Williamson should be on this list, but we're saying write-in as the fourth one, so whatever. Who would you out of these four choices, where are you going?
I would go Luka, Trae Young. I'm satisfied with Luka, Trae Young, or Trae Young, Luka. I'm satisfied with that.
You don't think Zion Williamson is a guy?
I'm not
that,
paying to go see Zion.
Why not?
Because he cool to me. I just don't.
Did you not?
I'm not in love with him.
Did you not
like
watch
that.
Him with the Pelicans this past year when he was going point forward?
I get it.
Forward.
He was point forward. He was dribbling. They put him at the. I get all that.
Killing people.
I get that, but it just is something about good. He's a good player.
All right.
There's no question about it. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't get me out of my seat. Just doesn't.
Zion Williamson
doesn't get me out of my seat.
You have high standards then.
Trae Young getting me out of my seat.
888 say ESPN. Luka. 888-729-3776.
Like, I like Luka. Luka is like,
oh, yeah.
Not only do I like his game, I just like what he brings. He know he's that dude. Like, you don't typically see European players, mm-hmm. like, give it to you like that swag like him. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm big.
I know.
I look sloppy, but I'm that dude. That's how he feel.
Oh, yeah.
He carries himself that way. Mm-hmm. So, me, I'll go and sit and pay the money to watch him play for sure. If you got some tickets, you say Zion in town, let me look and see.
Oh.
I mean, that's the way I am. Okay. You want okay. some Nick Zion stuff.
What?
Come to the Knicks. I know what you're doing.
No, that
yeah,
has
you
nothing
are.
To do with
and
it.
That's the
how
reason
dare
when
you?
We got into that conversation about Trae Young, you talking about no. We put Trae Young on the list, and Trae Young.
Yeah, so everybody knows we took Zion off the list. Not we, they took Zion off the list and put Trae Young.
Yeah, I took Zion off the list and put Trae Young up there. And Trae Young is picking up. Well, you're not picking up steam, but he's number two.
Yeah, 71%.
Yeah, it's
so
not
far.
Steam, but he's
13% say Trae. But all right, that poll will be up, and we can discuss. And you can certainly call, be part of the conversation. But another question, of course, with all this money, is. Luka now, that considered to be the next face, once the LeBrons and the Currys and the KDs and those guys are starting to, they are now over 30, the next face of the league. And can he be that? We had Woj on yesterday, and he believes so.
Luka Doncic, how he plays the game, just what he brings in arenas. I think he's a ticket seller, not just for Dallas, but all over the NBA. You are going to pay money to go watch Luka Doncic play. But there's no question. I think he's in that rarefied air of a player who's going to be. And I think at any given time, there's only one LeBron. There's only one Michael Jordan. And so I think when you say face of the league, I think sometimes there's going to be more than one. I don't know that one player fills that void for LeBron. Steph Curry is certainly still that at this point in his career. But Luka Doncic is that guy, and he's rapidly becoming, you know, that player, not just for the Mavs, but for the entire league.
See, we've had Jordan, we've had then Kobe, we've had LeBron. It's been like that guy. But I do think this might lead us to what could be a lot of fun, which really what sparked this whole thing was the Magic Bird dynamic, that coast to coast, East versus West, that rivalry. And so, Key, I'd love to see a rival now emerge for Luka over the next 10 years. And that then could make it real special. I don't know if he's going to be the face
be,
of the league. That's what we got to ask. That's what we got to figure
See,
out.
I don't,
who
I
could
don't
it
think,
be?
I don't think when you start – I don't know the definition of the face of the league because every time I say it, everybody look at me like I'm crazy.
Well,
like,
I mean, we kind of know. I mean, LeBron's a face. LeBron's the guy.
Yeah, like the face. Like yeah, to me, when you talk about face,
yeah.
those are championship guys, right? It's hard to make someone
well, yeah,
the
you got,
face of the
but,
league
but that's what,
without
you gotta,
these championships.
You
got to
win championships. You got to be playing for championships.
But here's what I would say, though, Alan. I don't know if Luka can be on a consistent championship team in Dallas because I don't know that they can lure that top free agent to go. They've missed out, as long as I can remember, they never landed a top dude.
Never had a guy like this.
They
though.
Never, but.
But they never had a guy like this, though, and they do have Mark
Yeah,
Cuban.
But Dirk was, he might not have been a guy like this, but Dirk was a guy like this.
No.
So.
He was a guy.
It just, I don't know, man.
All right, we'll continue this discussion. Again, we'll take calls on it certainly as well. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We encourage you to go at KeyJNZ on Twitter. And
no,
go ahead
we
and
don't
vote.
Encourage you. We demand you
okay,
to do.
Well, in a quarterback battle, Key says you always listen to the vets, right? Except maybe when they're wrong.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
NFL Training Camp 2021 with Keyshawn Johnson, the New England Patriots.
The Tom Brady-less New England Patriots start training camp for the second year without their former future Hall of Fame quarterback and Tom Brady. But is it Cam Newton's team? Is it Mac Jones's team? This is going to be must watch on the quarterback battle in Foxborough. I personally don't think it's a big battle, but those out there, they think it's a battle. We've got to see Cam Newton in year two and what he can become for the New England Patriots. They spent over $200 million on players, bringing them in because of the season they had a year ago. The wide receiving core was significantly upgraded with Nelson Aguilar and Kendrick Bourne. So if anybody can do it with this cast of characters in this group, is Bill Belichick along with Cam Newton. We'll soon find out, starting with training camp.
This is the biggest season ever. The countdown to the NFL season continues. Weekday mornings with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. To Foxborough we go as we continue to get ready for the preseason to begin. Thursday, you have the Patriots and Washington opening their preseason action. And to discuss that and more involving the Patriots, Mike Reese joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline, ESPN Patriots reporter, and he is, yes, he is exactly where Key loves him to be, right there in front of Gillette Stadium.
That's it. Keyshawn, yo, the other day you motivated me. You said, what are you doing in your office? You said, you need to be out at Gillette Stadium. I felt like I let you down. So here I am.
No, you didn't.
At 6:30 in the morning, by the way. Mind you, he got up and got himself there.
No,
just
he didn't
for
let
you.
Me. Mike, you didn't let me down, but this is such a big year for the New England Patriots, and you not being in front of the stadium, standing there reporting and giving us your best. It was a little one of those deals where, okay, he's starting to get it. Yeah, I think he's starting to get a little lazy on me right now.
Oh, come on.
So what's happening in Patriot land nowadays? I see Cam Newton took all the first team reps the other day. What's happening now with that situation?
So, Key, they've had 12 practices in training camp, but only 4 in full pads. So I think that's sort of important context to tell you where they are in the progression of what Bill Belichick is trying to do here. Cam has taken all the first reps in all 12 of those practices, followed by Mac Jones. It is interesting, though, to note, Key, that sometimes they'll put Mac in with the starters, even though he's taking reps behind Cam. And I just go big picture. Bill Belichick says Cam's our starting quarterback. And so what does that mean? To me, it means that unless Cam falls off a cliff performance-wise or Mac Jones becomes Superman, his intention is to go with Cam. And nothing, in my view, has changed at this point on that course for Bill Belichick.
Mike, let's move on from Cam Newton, the quarterback situation. Let's talk about the receivers, though. They bring in Kendrick Bourne. They bring in Nelson Aguilar. How do they look in training camp? Does it look different than a year ago?
Looks a lot different, Key. And I think the thing I would say with the receivers, you mentioned Aguilar and Bourne. They have Jacoby Myers, a third-year player who's ascending. N'Keal Harry, their first-round pick from 2019, has totally turned it around and looks like he's going to be a contributor. But to me, you can't just talk about the receivers when you look at this offense. It's the tight ends, too. And it's how that group will complement the tight ends, Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry, big-time free agent imports. So I think it's not just that group, which is definitely better. But when you pair them with those two tight ends, the offense, to me, Key, looks completely different.
Yeah, but you know what, Mike, as you mentioned Hunter Henry and the injury there with him, how significant is that shoulder injury for him? He's going to miss some time, but how much time are we looking at?
So, Alan, it was one of those full pad practices, and he was locked in a one-on-one blocking drill, and you could see he sort of was working out something on his shoulder, tried to practice through it, went for an MRI, and I can tell you, a big sigh of relief from the Patriots that it wasn't considered overly serious. He's expected to miss a couple weeks here in the preseason, but the timetable for him puts him on course to possibly be ready for that season opener September 12th when the Miami Dolphins come right here to Foxborough, Massachusetts.
Mike, on the other side of the ball, we know about the Belichick defense and everything that they've been able to create. In free agency, they went out and got Raekwon McMillan from the Oakland Raiders on a one-year deal. How significant is the loss of Raekwon, who tore his ACL, to that defense, and what was the expectations for him?
So, Key, they ranked 25th last year in run defense, and really that's so uncharacteristic of a Bill Belichick defense. So they go out, they get Raekwon McMillan, who, as you mentioned, tore his ACL, but they got a lot of other guys. Devon Godshaw, a nose tackle from the Dolphins, he's in here. Matt Judon, an outside linebacker, formerly of the Ravens. Kyle Van Noy, another outside linebacker, he's back from Miami. So it's like a complete revamp in the front seven. And so McMillan was actually going to be on the edge between, you know, starter, backup, niche, special teams player. So it hits at their depth, but the core of what they're building on defense in that front seven is very much intact. And I'll tell you, on the practice field the other day, they were doing their first real goal line situation. And there was one play where the defense just stuffed the offense, which to me you wouldn't have seen last year. So that defense looks a lot better as well.
What's the latest on Stephon Gilmore's situation?
Status quo, Key. He's still on that physically unable to perform list coming back from the quad injury. We know he's not happy with the contract situation due to a base salary of $7 million in the last year of his deal. And as I understand it, nothing has changed at this point, but he's still here. He's actively involved in meetings, and teammates say that he's right there with them, coaching them along the way as he rehabs from that quad.
Mike Reese joining us right now on the show, right there at Patriot Place, Gillette Stadium, right behind him. They have a welcome back sign. I don't know if you see it on the Matrix board behind you. I don't know if that's for you or for everybody else, but it's great to see you there, obviously in person. We will see in week four, we will see Tom Brady there as well, maybe getting a welcome back. But in the years you covered him, as Bruce Arians said, all his starters are going to play in the preseason at some point. Did Tom Brady play a lot in the preseason, and would this be out of the norm for Brady to play as the Buccaneers are planning to try to repeat?
You know, that was actually, Alan, really situational. It was year to year. There were some years where he actually didn't play, and then there were other years he played actually in the fourth preseason game when they had four at the time, when you say, well, why is he playing in this type of game? So a lot of that was sort of on a year-by-year basis. But knowing Tom, just from having covered him for two decades, I would think he wants to play just to get in the rhythm. And from what I understand down there, Bruce Arians wasn't happy at one of their practices this past week. So I would think he probably wants to get in there.
Yeah. I mean, you imagine that's something that they want to shake off some of the rust of the offseason. I got one more for you, because Key believes that, you know, the veterans are the guys that you go to decide about a young quarterback, right? Like, so for instance, in Chicago, he was given the example that you'll know about Justin Fields by if, you know, whether it's, you know, Khalil Mack or somebody goes up to the coach saying, hey, that guy's good. Like, he could play, or maybe even to the media. So what should we make of Trent Brown saying that Mac Jones, he thinks he could be special? Because Key's now saying, well, that doesn't count.
Yep. Yep. Well, I was right there. That was actually my question to Big Trent. Picture that, Key. At 6'8", Trent Brown, and 5'4", Mike Reese there, side by side. I needed my stepladder. And I said to him, I said, you know, what's your impression of – I said, what's your impression of Mac? He said, I think he can be special. And I said, why? And he said, because he's making throws that you wouldn't expect someone at that stage to make. And other guys have said, like J.C. Jackson, the cornerback who was second in the NFL in interceptions last year, said that Mac is improving every day and he's being accountable to his teammates. So he is making an impression, but I would sort of caution it right now. They haven't even, like, faced another team, really faced live tackling. So it's still early yet, but I would say the foundation is being set for Mac at some point to take over. To me, the question is not if, it's just when, and that could be next season. It could be in the middle of this season. Maybe it's even week one, but right now I think it's still Cam in that driver's seat.
Yeah, and that's certainly what it feels like. I don't think the great expectation was he would beat out Cam, but to see at least that they drafted somebody that they do believe in, and he's getting the work that he needs to get ready for whenever it's time to take over. Just to hear from a vet, though, on that case, because what you don't want to hear is, this guy stinks. At least you're not getting that. So,
that's
Mike,
right.
Great stuff as always. Great to see you in front of Gillette. All the best.
All right, Mike.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
All right, Mike Reese again, covering the Patriots on the Goodyear hotline. I just had to get that Trent Brown thing in because it's as much as we're making a joke of it, it's still they drafted a guy that you want to make sure this is their guy. They have to have somebody for the future. Cam's not going to be there forever.
Everybody that's drafted, they in the first round, you hope that they're going to turn out to be something. And whether you could got flashes here and there, but like Mike said, it's basically in T-shirts and shorts. You haven't played against anybody. Mm-hmm. There's no live bullets that you got to duck and dodge from. But it's not about this year for Mac Jones. I think where people get it twisted at is they want it to be about this year.
Of course they do.
And it's not about this year. It's about the future of the New England Patriots. It's not about right now. Cam Newton is their quarterback right now. Now,
fans are funny like that, though, because fans want to just – they fan and some media, too, they want always want to advance the cause. They want to accelerate the process. Let's get to that guy being the next one.
So let's stop trying to push it because Bill Belichick continues to throw water on the fire.
Of course he does.
He continues to tell you, Cam is my quarterback, so stop trying to push Mac Jones up.
Now, he keeps saying it, too, because how important is it for Cam to keep hearing it? Even though Bill might not have to, I don't need to keep saying it, but he is.
He doesn't need to hear it because Cam already knows.
Cam knows it. Okay.
Like, I know that dude ain't better than me no matter what you keep writing. It doesn't matter. He's not going to outplay me right now.
How about this? Is Mac Jones going to be the backup, or would he be the third guy because it's better?
I don't know. It depends on how they set the 53-man. Like, if they set it a certain way, you know.
I know.
Jordan Love wasn't the backup to Aaron Rodgers.
But that's my point.
And he set
if
all
he's
year
going
long.
To be sort of an understudy, you know, gap year kind of quarterback where you just, again, what they did with Mahomes.
What we don't know is Mac Jones right now better than Jared Stidham right now.
And Brian Hoyer.
He might be better than Brian Hoyer based on age. So
but as a backup, like, again, if you need him in a pinch, his backup is
that's what I'm saying. Is he better than Jared Stidham?
That's what we've
– And so if I'm setting –
I find that to be just
as interesting. My 53 or whatever it is, 40-something for game day, is he up or down? Can I use that – do I bring three quarterbacks to the game or do I bring two? Mm-hmm. Is he one of the two or is he the third that's just – inactive on game day because I need an offensive lineman or I need a linebacker or I need another corner. That's where his sweet spot is. And we will not know that until Bill Belichick says it.
Yes, until we get to that
point. Yeah, it's just not he's number two.
Right.
Doesn't work like that.
Because
you would assume Jordan Love was the number two quarterback for the Green Bay Packers.
And he wasn't.
He wasn't even
never
dressed.
Never got any reps. No.
Never dressed.
Exactly, which is what makes, and we'll get to more on Jordan Love, which
they
is
paid
what makes
him,
this preseason
They paid him millions
so
of dollars to kick it. That means, like, hang out on the side, just in case people don't understand what kick it means.
Yes. Kick it, he says. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So, again, on Key JNZ, we have a Twitter poll up. If you can go to one NBA game in your city, you can only go to one for a season.
Lakers.
Which one of these visiting players, now it's an under 25 player, because obviously you'd go see LeBron, you go see Steph Curry, we get that part, but I'm talking about under 25. Which one of these would you buy a ticket to see? And we have Luka Doncic, Trae Young, Devin Booker, or a write-in, which I find offensive. It should be Zion Williamson, but that's just me. So far, Luka running away with the votes so far at 71%. Trae Young, number two, at just under 12%, and Devin Booker at 8.5, and Wrighton at 8.4. So what I want to know is who are we missing? So let's go to the calls right now. Let's begin with Zach in Raleigh. Zach.
What's up, man?
What's happening, Zach?
Chilling, getting ready for start a new school year.
Yeah, you need to put some WD-40 in that chair, though.
I know. Tell me about it. I appreciate it, man. No, I wanted to reach out and talk about it. I don't think Trae Young should even be on the list.
Really? Why?
Absolutely. Yes. If if trade the roles, if Zion made the playoffs and Trae Young wouldn't have, I think Zion would have made the list and Trae Young wouldn't have been on it.
See, I'm telling you.
I
feel like we're forgetting just how compelling Zion is to watch as a player.
No, Zach, I get it.
I'm with Zach.
You Raleigh, you down there near Duke. I got it. I understand. You probably all blue. I get it. But he's not, to me, he's not moving it like Trae Young. Trae Young is the reason the Hawks had much success the way they did. He's the reason they went out and slapped the Knicks upside the head.
Fantastic. He didn't just slap the Knicks. He slapped a couple of teams.
Yeah, but I mentioned the Knicks on purpose.
I know you did because you like to poke the bear. Monty's in Atlanta. So what are they thinking? Hotlanta. Go ahead, Monty.
Hey, you already know, man. Hotlanta is going for my man Trae Young all day. Prices went up when Trae Young got drafted.
Of course.
And what he did in the playoffs this year, oh, most definitely, man. Trae Young is the one that everybody's going to pay up to see.
Monty, what now? Everybody knows what Luka has done, not just for Dallas, but around the league. But I'm curious because you're there, and I got to see it firsthand in the first round of the playoffs. What has Trae done for the Atlanta sports scene? Because I'm going to say this, and I say it as somebody that visited there a ton, and I loved visiting Atlanta, but it has been a terrible sports town when it comes to supporting its teams. It's been bad, other than maybe the Falcons and obviously Georgia. You don't get the same kind of support for the other teams, the Braves and also the Hawks. The Hawks have always been that road team kind of thing where the other team comes in, you get a lot of fans from the other team that fill the building. But Trae has seemed to have changed that. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true, most definitely. I'm going to tell you, Trae Young is our Michael Vick right now.
Okay.
How Michael Vick hit this city, that's how Trae Young is here in the ATL.
Okay.
Yeah, I can see that.
Great example.
No, I can
Thank
see
you,
that.
Monty.
That's a great example for sure.
Because I saw it. People really got into the Hawks, and that you couldn't say that about the Hawks since Neek. You know, like they
that was so long ago. I don't remember
I know.
That
like they have struggled.
Right up your age. So.
They have struggled. So let's go to Taylor in Kentucky.
Morning, guys.
Morning,
hey, what's up? I was thinking that more on the rivalry for Luka throughout the career. I think Trae could develop into that guy, but I do have another guy that's not on the list. But I think Trae, the way he acted in the playoffs where he was kind of the villain, especially in that Knicks series, like bowing to the crowd and all that stuff, that just like breeds rivalry and really like creates that animosity in a rivalry. But I think a guy that's not on the list that's young that could be the rival is Jason Tatum. Guy's 23, performed like crazy in the Olympics. I mean, he plays for the Celtics, a historically rich franchise. I mean, I feel like that's a perfect combo. If both the Mavericks and the Celtics can be good and they end up in the finals together a few times.
Yeah, Tatum would be good. The problem is they're not hitched together. Larry Bird and Magic were kind of hitched together.
They played college.
From college, championship.
That's why Trae
and came in the league together. That's why Trae and Luka is better comp.
One.
Yeah, that's just a natural fit.
Because they were traded for each other on draft night.
That's a natural fit.
And both franchises are now happy with
Tatum's
what
been
they got.
In the league 5 years now. So it's a little different.
And I mean, look, Tatum is a tremendous talent, but there's something like is he
No, but I'm go with rivalry has to have a storyline too.
Rivalry, yes. I'm talking about just as a box office guy, right? Yeah. As he said he should be on the list. He's saying Tatum should be on the list of the under 25.
I mean,
you would pay to see play.
He's an other.
But is he that
I would pay to see him play.
If you could only go to one NBA game.
But it's the Celtics.
It's
the Celtics, what I was gonna say.
Yeah.
No, I was gonna say it's the Celtics with him on it. If he was at another team, I probably wouldn't go pay to see Tatum play.
I don't know if he's had some highlight plays. He's had big, 50, 60-point performances. I know he's done that stuff, but I feel like his game and personality doesn't have the same sizzle.
No, it doesn't.
He's such a good player, but there's certain
Celtics
guys that don't have that sizzle. Yes, he's on that type of a franchise that's a marquee franchise.
So you're going to
Trae Young, when he dropped 48 points – and 11 assists in game one of the conference finals, he became the first NBA player to ever drop 45-plus points and 10-plus assists in a conference finals game. Can you imagine that? The first ever to do that? Stats incredible. Brought to you by My Computer Career. Training for a better life. So we'll keep this conversation going. Again, you can always join us in the conversation on social media, on Twitter, at KeyJNZ. You can certainly be part of the voting. We'll keep that going as well. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 as well. So back to the NFL we go, because we had a spring of drama, and now they're calling it the summer of love. And in Green Bay, there's many reasons for that. We'll explain the NFL's biggest soap opera that won't stop when the preseason starts. KJZ, ESPN Radio, and Sirius XM, Channel 80.